on, I believe, only a day or two rest after after that long seven-game series with the San Antonio Spurs. And they beat, in the three games that the Clippers won, they won by 16, 25, and 33. And we all know, by now you should know, that about that 19-point lead they had.
It just fell apart in the last 14 minutes. Yeah. It
brutal.
Was a great game to watch. Like, as I've mentioned in the past, I'm not a Clipper fan in any way. I respect the team. And
right.
They just... That Spurs series is really the fault, I feel, of them. Having to go seven games against that tough of an opponent is going to drain you. And they just looked so tired the rest of the way and not into it at all.
Yeah, not only were they not into it, it seems like... It just seemed odd that in the fourth quarter of the last couple games, it seemed like no one wanted to touch the ball except Chris Paul, at least for the Clippers on offense. No, it seemed like no one wanted to touch the ball.
No one was hitting anything. Reddick was... ice cold, and when you're not hitting your threes and you can't get inside, yeah, it's gonna be a tough game for them, and they proved otherwise.
And to be fair, I mean, let's give some credit to the Rockets. It wasn't just a Clippers collapse, but it's a lot more interesting to strictly talk about the collapse. We'll get to the Rockets here and moving forward and previewing the series coming up here with the Warriors starting tomorrow night. But that game six loss, I don't know how you do that.
That's tough.
At home.
That's the biggest thing, too. When you're at home, you really have to have that killer instinct just to finish it off. And they just got lackadaisical. They thought they had it in the bag. I mean, I think we all did for the most part.
Absolutely.
I know my sister, Erin, turned it off because she thought it was over. And
as did a lot of people.
A lot of people did.
We
just happened to kind of have it on the background. I wasn't even really paying attention to it. Then next thing I knew, I see, okay, they're making a bit of a run. And it was stunning.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it'll be. There's a lot of storylines to cover. I think the one thing that the Clippers gave the Rockets, which you never want to give away in any competition, is they gave them hope. They could have stomped them. They had them, could have kicked them while they were down. Ended the series on a couple different occasions. Remember in Game Four, the headlines nationwide, the way the media was looking at it as if the Clippers were quitters, with Dwight Howard getting ejected from that Game 4 game, and just the way they played, it was as if they had no fight, and everyone pretty much counted them out at that point. And somehow the Clippers managed to give life back to this team with James Harden on the bench too. And it was just it was pretty... I was trying to search for the word earlier, because miraculous might be the positive way to look at it, I guess.
Pretty
miraculous. Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
But it's just an epic failure on the part of the Clippers, right?
When we're coming into the season, a lot of people put a lot of stock in the Clippers, did they not? I mean, a lot of people thought they were going to be a big contender for the title.
Right.
You have a lineup like they did. I mean, Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, both of them have established themselves. I mean, Chris Paul, definitely unfortunate. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one of the questions I wanted to ask you right now, with this being another Chris Paul loss, his inability to reach those conference finals, where does he stack for you now?
Well, are you talking about in the grand scheme of his career or compared to other points? Do you mean specifically his career?
His career as a whole right now. You have to play suit. I mean, he's arguably been one of the greatest point guards in this era.
Agreed.
Been on the top of that list, if not the top of it.
Sure.
Do you think he's Hall of Fame worthy? Do you think he's instant Hall of Fame worthy? Is he going to be considered one of the greatest ever? Is he up there with Stockton? Is he up there? Where do you think he's at right now?
It's hard to say, because basketball is one of those sports where we do judge you on how you do in the playoffs. And, I mean...
that's when it matters most.
And it's... I feel bad for Chris Paul in this sense that he, on one leg, willed the Clippers to a win.
He almost got them back into that Game 7 last...
Right.
I was getting a little anxious. I mean, I remember they had a 17-point lead with, I don't know, 10 minutes left or something like that.
Right.
And I was like, okay, there's no way. And everyone was saying, okay, Rockets they're going through. And then they got it to 8 points.
Mm-hmm.
And it got it to single digits. Like, that's always a thing. Like, I always see the trigger in my mind is just get it to single points. You know, get it...
Right.
That's a huge mental gap. So I was like, man, Rockets better step it up. And they Rockets did what the Clippers couldn't and just killed it right then and there.
Let's hear from Chris Paul while I stall on this answer a little
bit more.
Okay,
yes, we'll get some more input.
Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah, still getting that pulled up. But he's...
Chris, how tough is this to take? You guys were so close to...
So close. I don't even know what that means anymore. I don't know. Ricky Bobby, like I said, if you're not first, you're last. So being close ain't good enough.
Never a good moment in your career when you're quoting Ricky Bobby after a playoff loss.
In a press conference, yeah.
But he sounds absolutely dejected, and as he should be. I mean,
who wouldn't?
He is such a competitor. I think people get a little fed up watching Chris Paul and all the talking to the refs and the chirping and the grabbing players when they're coming off a screen or whatever. But, you know, that's his game. I just think he's ultra competitive.
Most definitely.
And that's just in his nature, right?
So he was taking a squad in New Orleans that, you know, didn't have any business really being where it was, and he was getting them and challenging the likes of the Lakers, you know?
Right.
So he's definitely
was about
him
to be a Laker.
Yeah, he was. And that's why I'm still a little salty towards that. But you just have to, you know, roll on, and he's still a great player, but he just unfortunately hasn't quite found the team that can get him back to where he should be as the caliber player that he is.
Well, and that's an interesting point you bring up, because I would say that this Clippers team, or since he's come to the Clippers, he's been the best squads. He's, excuse me.
Most definitely, yeah.
He's been on since being in the league. A lot better than his New Orleans teams he was on. And
I think he unfortunately suffers from the fact that the team's got a lot of young people on there in the terms of Griffin and Jordan both being relatively new superstars. No, they are new superstars in the league,
sure,
right now. And Griffin still shows that they both have some times where they don't quite have it all together, and you know, you're still figuring stuff out. It takes you a while to figure the league out.
But I think anyone really watching that series absolutely expected the Clippers to move on. Their starting five is as good as really any starting five in the league. Maybe save, you know, the Warriors or a couple teams, but I think their bench really hurts them, and that's kind of what I wanted to ask you in regards to Doc Rivers. As you can see, I'm still stalling on this Chris Paul. This is a really good question. But that's, I wanted to ask you about that, because the irony of this whole thing is that it seemed like the Clippers thought, front office felt that they were just a coach away. And that's why you got rid of Vinny Del Negro, who just won, I believe in his last year, won 56 games and made it to the second round and went to seven games in the second round, which is the exact same thing Doc Rivers has been able to accomplish. Meanwhile,
it's amazing what a ring will do for a person.
Absolutely.
That perception that people have. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to hark on Doc Rivers. I think he's a great coach in terms of, he's a great player guy. A lot of people like him. Mm-hmm. They seem to respect him a lot. He has a voice that people will listen to.
Right.
But, I mean, he got a nice little gift basket when he got himself Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen to join Paul Pierce on a Celtics squad that really was kind of destined to win.
Well, I went back because I was just thinking about how terrible that Clippers bench is. I mean, they have Jamal Crawford, and then who? I mean, is Austin Rivers their next best player coming off the bench?
Honestly, I was very surprised by him, actually. He showed up a couple times.
He did.
Granted, I'd never liked him throughout the regular season.
Absolutely,
I thought
right.
He looked, I was like, he doesn't even belong in this league right now,
right.
Honestly. And I felt bad because that's his dad coaching him, and I mean, he stepped up. He had some great games in the playoffs for them, and it kind of gave me a little bit of light that, hey, if he can continue this going, it's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, like you did say, there's no one else that's going to take the scoring on. I mean, if Blake Griffin don't do anything, it's almost – Jamal Crawford definitely went silent in that, I feel, in that series. I feel like he barely even mentioned his name that much.
Right. I mean, he did still get up, I believe, 26 shots in a Game 7, which is pretty incredible for a guy coming off the bench.
That's Jamal Crawford for you right there.
But for example,
every shot's a good one.
Speaking about their bench, a guy like Jared Dudley absolutely would have helped this team in this series. They needed a guy like Jared Dudley, who they gave away to Milwaukee to take on a bunch of salaries that they didn't need. By the way, they gave Milwaukee a first rounder. Then they turned around and used that mid-level exception for Spencer Hawes, who Doc River buried on the bench for most of the season. Then on top of that, they picked up Jordan Farmar, gave him about a mil and a half, then decided he wasn't worth it, and they picked up Austin Rivers. And those moves are unquestionably terrible.
I think that's one of the things that I think they need to work on is getting a better front office people. I mean,
they need a GM.
Yeah, the GM is really where they're, I think they're lacking the biggest
at Doc Rivers now. As GM has, in my opinion, thus far, he's failed. And, you know,
he's a good coach, but I don't think he's shown that he can take on both those roles right now. I mean, especially with, like I said, those moves you're making are just, you're trying to grasp for something and you don't really know what you're doing. It seems like, you know, you're hoping.
Right. And to your point, it's interesting what a ring does for you, because I mean, Doc Rivers now is the first coach in NBA history to lose 2 7-game series when leading 3-1. You may remember
two of those nine. Those nine teams at seven, right. Nine teams, and he's fostered two of them. I don't know what the percentage is ridiculously high towards the people with 3-1 are going to win. It's usually a solid fact that 3-1 you're going to win.
Right.
Nine teams have happened to, and he's fostered two of them. That's, again, like I said, that ring has definitely made him seem a little bit higher up than maybe we're putting him.
Right. So, I mean, it's interesting. Talking to a couple of my buddies, the Triangle Offense, shout out to Hack and Fifth, earlier today, and my buddy Hackney was asking me, so what do you do with the Clippers organization moving forward? You know, DJ, DeAndre Jordan, is up for free agency, and you know teams are going to throw him the max.
He's definitely showcased that he will rebound the ball and get fouled a lot.
Yeah, and he blocks some shots. I think he's an overrated defender, but he's a hell of a...
He can block, yeah. He's a big body.
He's a huge body.
And he can jump. His athleticism is really off the charts for someone his size, and that's really what teams love.
Even that dunk he missed yesterday was...
ridiculous.
It was awesome.
I was like, I really honestly wish he made that, because it was just too nice of a... His form, it was perfect.
I would rather watch him miss 200 dunks before I watch Spencer Hawes dunk once. Let's put it that way.
Can he even dunk Spencer Hawes? We don't know.
I would hope so.
White men can't jump.
But what do you do if you're the Clippers? I mean...
They're going to try to keep him, obviously. Who wouldn't? I mean, he's...
Yeah. But what do you do?
He works well. I mean...
Do you keep that core, though?
They haven't... They need a more consistent... Redick wasn't consistent enough for them, I feel.
He had some big moments, and then he disappeared.
I like him a lot, but then he definitely went away. And
yeah, he would absolutely... You'd forget he was even playing, you know?
I mean, his defense on Harden, though, was not too terrible. I mean... Certain moments.
At moments, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, everyone, you know, a blind squirrel finds a nut every time, too. it's going to be an interesting move to see what they do. If they do try to keep this and try to run, because if they do, they need to add a deeper bench. It needs to get some guys who have been there, who know what they're doing, some real experienced, playoff-heavy guys.
They need some more shooting, I would say. They need more perimeter defenders. It's going to be real interesting, because you would think they have to bid on DeAndre Jordan, because if he leaves, then you have... What do you have? You have a huge hole in the middle.
And who are they going to go after to fill that hole? That's going to be... I mean, is Big Baby Davis going to do that? Or?
The fact that that guy's getting game checks, I mean, it's awesome to watch, because he puts in more effort on a nightly basis, as far as just when he gets in the game, just him sprinting to the scores table is just, it's something to behold.
And he wants to get in the game.
When he had that opportunity the other day, he was wide open. It was in game 7. He gets the ball. He takes a drop step. No one's within 10 feet of him, and he barely lays the ball in because he can't get above the rim. I found that just to be awesome on so many levels.
The one that I loved
hilarious.
Was when Blake threw the alley-oop pass to him, and
oh god!
I mean, you had to think he was thinking Jordan's in there, because he's gotten so used to doing that.
And
they even called it out on that, and he's like, "That's not Jordan. He can't get up there, nowhere near to his level." But he's got some. He's a fun player to watch, but he's not the answer to their prayers.
No, they need a lot of help, it seems. I mean,
now the thing about... I'm sorry, I want to say, Jordan, one thing that's honestly really ticked me off with him, anyone in general, is the fact that anyone's free throw percentage is as horrendous as his is. Same with Dwight Howard. Same goes for you. Adopt Rick Barry's way if it really gets that bad. Like, honestly, I really think you owe it to your team. You owe it to the guy who's writing you a check.
Right.
To be able to do what you can to get him as many points as you possibly can. And you're getting on the foul line that many times and you're missing that many shots. It's ridiculous. But the fact that no one is... I feel like it needs to be a bigger issue than they're trying to make it out to be. For anyone in general, you should be able to shoot in this league 15 feet away from the basket. Everyone should. And I don't care if you're a 7-foot guy or not, you got to learn it. If you're playing basketball, that's your craft. is to play and shoot the ball. And if you can't do that, then, like I said, Rick Barry was able to have a nice free throw percentage doing it granny style.
I don't disagree. I just don't think NBA players...
They're too proud for it, and that's what I think is honestly what it comes down to. Like, they don't want to look like a fool
right,
doing it that way. Swallow your pride, make more shots. You're going to get more wins.
Agreed.
That's going to equal out more money. That's just my eyes.
All right, so
sorry, a little rant there. I apologize.
No, I appreciate it. I'm on the same page with you. Before we jump off this Clippers topic, which we've now taken up half the show doing, so we probably should have just gone ahead and done an hour show. But I do want to just get in a couple words about Chris Paul. I definitely think. I hate talking legacy when a player is in the midst of his career.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to say what I believe ultimately this does for his legacy. Because you look at players like Dominique, right? The human highlight film.
Yeah.
That's not usually the first thing we refer to. You know, when we think about him, we think of the dunks and stuff like that. But, you know, he was in the same position. Guys like Stephon Marbury, trying to think of some others. Antoine Jameson.
Vince Carter. People like that. Who
right.
are just great players you know, never quite got there. I mean.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, going back to that soundbite, I mean, you can hear just how dejected Chris Paul was because he wants it so bad. Because it means so much in the grand scheme of things, the way people view you, I think, is so tied to playoff success. And so I think, yeah, if he doesn't at least make a conference finals run, that his overall legacy will be tarnished. I think it already is in the fact that, you know, media members and things like people like that are putting him now, you know, he's... In some circles, he's barely even cracking, you know, the top five point guard list, which is a joke, but...
Definitely. And, I mean, he's getting up there in age, too.
He had admitted as such in the post-game presser, actually, so...
It's definitely going to be an interesting couple of years for him to see what he can do, and it just goes to show you the level of talent that's out there right now in this league. I mean, I think I love it. I love this league where it is right now, what it's become. The fact that we got the Warriors and the Houston Rockets in one finals, and we have the Atlanta Hawks and the Cleveland Cavaliers in the other, it just goes to show you how this league, if you know, it's going to change. It alters, and we're no longer in that era of a complete dominant team that everyone's really expecting it to be. Granted, Cleveland could take that spot, but it really hasn't been. The Warriors have definitely crept up there, and there's just so much talent out there. Guys are out there. You just don't know what's going to happen, and you really have to have something special going on, and it shows how hard it really is to truly win. And you can't always harken a guy when he doesn't, because he's still a great player. Like you said, we mentioned a couple guys that
sure.
never won rings, but you still are going to say that's...
But you're always going to put him in tier
yes,
two,
exactly.
Right? When you're looking
Most
at
definitely.
The grand scheme of
you
NBA players.
You can't put
players.
Him with Jordan at all. You can't put, you know, throw no. Wilkins in there or the James Worthy or anything like that, because
no.
the rings definitely
give matter.
You
right.
an aura about you.
So let's move forward to positivity and the team that the Clippers had the epic collapse against in the Houston Rockets. There is no more important storyline to me here, or more fun storyline, more awesome, however you want to put it, than Josh Smith.
Yes.
Yes, that's Smith.
Oh, my God.
Josh Smith, who is the highest paid player on the Detroit Pistons right now, getting giant playoff buckets, playing for the minimum for Houston. This, I mean, I don't...
How that even works, I don't really quite understand.
It's, I've been watching NBA basketball as long as I can remember, and this is as interesting a storyline, as funny, as ironic a storyline as I can really remember in recent history, for sure, is that he was cut by a team after accepting the max in the offseason, getting cut by Detroit. That just doesn't happen.
It's especially a guy who was... quartered around. People were going after him when he
right.
was getting off the Hawks and stuff. And so you thought wherever he's going to go, granted, you never really put him in a high category of being the, you know, an elite style player, but he came alive in a completely different Josh Smith than I really used to. He made Blake Griffin look like he wasn't really Blake Griffin in that series when he was guarding him. He had some blocks in him the way he was defending him the entire time.
I don't remember if it was Jalen Rose or Mark Jackson, but someone said over the weekend that Josh Smith believed that he was a better player than Blake Griffin.
I heard that, yes.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's absolutely accurate as to how he how he played and how he has to believe.
Yes.
You know, you have to go into any competition, but he absolutely went at Blake Griffin. He was chirping at Blake Griffin a lot, which seems to happen to Blake Griffin quite often.
I think he brings it on himself, but
sure.
I don't really, I'm just my perspective.
I don't want to say single-handedly because it definitely was a team player. It's huge in the playoffs. Like Pablo Piergioni, I mean, are you kidding? What, 38, 39?
Yeah, came and he's, over from Italy and
yeah, he
wait, played, was it Spain or Italy?
He played in Spain. He played in Brazil for a while. He was on the Knicks, or, you know,
and in New York.
Getting he's the only guy in the wheels in the backcourt. He just circles back because
his craftiness is he nimble. Just ducks around. You don't even. He's like a little cat out there.
He's that old guy at the park that has not a ton of game. He's never going to get past you with speed or anything like that. He's just crafty and he does annoying things. He's that guy that tugs on your shorts as you run by. He's that guy that kind of holds one arm down while you try to get the rebound at the rec. You know.
Yeah.
He's that guy, and I love it.
Playing against him, but you can respect having him on your team, and he's.
But guys like that, Trevor Ariza, obviously huge, huge in Game 7.
Big game for him.
Huge in Game 7. Corey Brewer, who I think Jeff Van Gundy said it perfectly, he doesn't do anything great.
Yes, I thought that was the best compliment he could ever give.
Yeah,
him.
He doesn't do anything.
He's a jack of all trades, a master of nothing.
Yeah,
you know? Yeah.
He does a lot of things good. He doesn't do anything great. He plays with a lot of effort, and you know, I think that is incredibly commendable for the Rockets because they should have, I mean, by all accounts, they should be out of this series. Matter of fact, the Rockets are the only team to make it this far who have been outscored in the playoffs. Think about that. They were outscored in the Clippers series by 22. I think in the series prior, they were outscored by 8 by Dallas. Even though they won pretty handily.
Dallas did have a pretty big win in there.
Yeah, so it's...
That's a nice stat to have it to throw out there. That was
and James Harden didn't have a huge game in Game 6. He wasn't even part of that comeback. And in Game 7, he played good.
Yeah, he wasn't. But again, he hasn't really been the James Harden of the regular season in the playoffs. We'll just say that.
And definitely not in this past series. So
and it's kind of interesting to show that this is the Houston's time right now. And the thing that I thought was really interesting to me was how much the Rockets made the Clippers seem like a smaller team, just because. The length that Trevor Ariza and Corey Brewer were able to do with the guys on the wings was just, they were annoyed by it. You could totally tell. Redick and Chris Paul, they're too small for it. That seemed like it was kind of interesting, even though you have a guy like, you know, well, granted, you have Dwight Howard in there as well, but
yeah,
you have Blake Griffin and, what is
it? Jordan?
Yes.
No worries. Yeah. It was a long weekend for us. I got it, buddy. We got
DeAndre Jordan, that's who I'm trying to. I was like, what is his first name right now?
No, it should be interesting. The one thing that has not really been accounted for, I haven't heard a lot of people talk about when comparing, looking forward to the Rockets and Warriors series, is just the length that the Rockets have on the perimeter. Because that is typically what the Warriors have. The advantage the Warriors have in every series is they can throw any number of you guys or any number of guys at you.
I mean, they're going to have probably Ariza and or Corey Brewer taking on Steph Curry.
Right.
And it's going to be interesting to match up. That's where I think it's going to be big to deal. That's where their wing players come in so handy.
I don't think either one of those guys can take Steph one-on-one, but the fact is they can switch everything. And that's what the Warriors have been so accustomed to doing, whether it's been throwing Andre out there, who's all their guys are about 6'5 to 6'7 on the wing.
Yeah.
And even Steph Curry, he's only, I believe, 6'3. He's listed at 6'3, but he's got a 6'6 arm span or wingspan, I should say.
His defense has definitely stepped up in this past year.
And
he worked on it a lot.
Yeah, and it's not just, you know, passing lane defense, which, you know, steals can be a misleading stat, but his on-ball defense from
definitely
last year, and especially from 2-3 years ago, is night and day difference.
I completely agree.
But yeah, I think that'll be very interesting to watch coming up in the series, is just how they deal with the length of the Rockets. I'm obviously going to take the Warriors to win this series. I don't see how, if you've watched these two teams in the regular season and even in the playoffs, I don't see how you go with the Rockets. But I definitely think the Rockets are going to put up more of a fight than most people think. As far as I think they're going to give the Warriors some trouble, I think the Warriors still win this series fairly easy. I don't see it. At most, I see it going six unless something crazy happens.
I mean, also Houston's is going to be a lot more tired than Golden State. They've had some pretty tough series back to back. I mean, this LA series was no small fry.
Yeah, you would. I mean, you wonder what kind of hangover they might have. Even though they came out and played great after that game six, you know, and it's that whole rust versus rust kind of argument.
Momentum versus rust there.
Right, right. And you don't know how that'll carry over, but I mean, we'll find out. I can't wait to see a series now that is going to be such a contrast in styles compared to the series we just watched with the Warriors against the Grizzlies, where the Grizzlies absolutely, you know, to use a football term, they want to ground and pound. They want to slow the pace. Yeah. They want to control tempo. They want to control clock. They want to dump it inside, let their big uglies do their thing, you know, and they're not even going to initiate their offense until 18 seconds on the shot clock have passed, where the Warriors are trying to initiate their offense with 18 seconds left in the shot clock. The one thing that I can guarantee is it's going to be raining threes.
That's one thing you can definitely expect. So if you like shooting, hop on, guys.
Absolutely. The Rockets led the NBA in 3 points made per game at 11.2. The Warriors were right behind them with 10.8. The Dubs lead in three-point percentage. So, I mean, we'll see, but it's going to be an up and down series. I would take the Warriors in five or six at the most. What about you? What are you thinking?
Definitely, I think the Warriors definitely have that opportunity. I mean, what are they 3-1 against them in the regular season? Was that the record against
4-0?
4-0. Okay.
4-0. Granted, twice they didn't have Dwight Howard.
That's true. And granted, the Rockets are playing a little bit more different now. But I'm going to say definitely the Warriors in six is my take.
Cool. I'm with you there. We're running out of time here to even get to Atlanta Cavs. Do you just want to go rapid fire here?
All right, yeah, let's go for it. What do you got for the Cavs in the Atlanta? That's another.
Ooh, you know, I thought about this for a while today. It's. What do you have?
Is that what you want? You just want to see what I'm going to throw out there. I'm going to be a little bit bold in this one, honestly. I like the Atlanta right now. I know they're more of a complete squad. I think their defense has an opportunity to do so. And they have the ability to, I think, slow down LeBron a little bit. So I'm going to take Atlanta. I think it's going to be a hard-fought seven-game series in that one.
I'm going to go with you with Atlanta. They got the home court advantage. I'm always going to take the home court team, except for yesterday, in a game seven. So I'm going to go with Atlanta as well. But regardless, we will have a new NBA champion this year, and that's exciting.
Very much so.
And for the first time in however many, like 10 or 15 years, it won't be Tim Duncan, Kobe Bryant, Dwayne Wade, or Dirk Nowitzki will not hoist the trophy. So,
but Dirk Nowitzki is a little bit misleading.
He had one.
But yeah, still.
But I had to throw him
in
there.
You had to, because he got it. So good for you, Derek. Way to get your one.
All right, you want to read some underwriting? We'll get on out of here
right now. All right, so obviously Say Hey is made possible by the generous contributions of Arcasia Farm members and the Great State Coffee Company. Great State Coffee Company proudly roasts specialty coffees from around the world right here in Chico. Great State Coffee Company roasts organic and fair trade coffees with meticulous attention to detail. Great State Coffee is available at the Naked Lounge, Tea and Coffee House, Chico Natural Foods, and S&S Produce, Tin Roof Bakery, and other fine cafes and eateries. Their roastery and store is open to the public from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. at 3881 Benatar Way off Skyway. Coming up next, we have the Peace Talk Radio. Always want to give a quick shout out to all our sports fans. Thank you to Allie and Aaron.
Appreciate it. We will check you next week. Same time. Probably go for an hour next week. Definitely going for an hour.
Going for an hour next week, guys. More sports talk.
This is Peace Talks Radio, a series on peacemaking and nonviolent conflict resolution. Whether it's the search for inner peace or resolving conflicts we have with each other in our families, our workplaces, our communities, or between nations, we consider it here on Peace Talks Radio. I'm series producer Paul Ingalls. In a previous Peace Talks Radio episode, we spotlighted a strategic video game called A Force More Powerful that allowed players to coordinate characters in a fictional country run by a corrupt and oppressive government. To win the game, bring about significant social change without resorting to violence. Here's some